Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your host for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio for the 112th time. My name's Alon, and Nate is not with us this week. However, I do have a very flashy-looking group of guests today. We've got Locke and Robert, both from, do we call it Land Camp or Desert Bash? What's the official
Land
name?
Land Camp is the group, and Desert Bash is just what we call the event.
The one event that we're doing here in Phoenix soon. All right, and of course, we have onlooker Heather, friend of all. Here in the studio. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming. This wasn't really announced ahead of time because we weren't sure when I was going to be able to get these guys in the studio. But like we just mentioned, they're putting on an event called Desert Bash. Is this 3.0, 4.0?
This will be 4.0.
That's what I thought. I've seen the flyers. Yeah. So very large LAN event that happens every year here in Phoenix. Unfortunately, it happens on exactly the weekend that GDC is wrapping up. So it's always been difficult for me to take part in it. But Nate and I are going to do our best to get down there this time and even do a little bit of the game show that you may have heard back in like show 80 or 90 or something when we did our game show back then. So it's going to be a good time. Now, they're also going to help me co-host the show today because, like I said, Nate's not here with me because he's already down at GDC in San Jose. Lucky bastard, got to leave before me. So we're going to talk about a couple things today. First of all, we have these amazing PC gamers in studio, so I thought it would be good to actually talk about a feeling I've had lately that PC games aren't going in too many different directions. So maybe you can defend that. But I'm a little bit, I don't know. I'm thinking about this LAN that you're going to put on. I'm going to walk in there, and it's going to be computer after computer after computer, row after row of said computers, all playing first-person shooters, which I find strange. Now, maybe there's going to be real-time strategy games.
There's going to be RTS. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff.
Really? I don't believe it when you say all kinds. Because... Because I bet we could find some differences, but that's cool. We're also going to talk about, obviously, the LAN that they're putting on. And if you guys want to call and ask them questions, we can do that. Are we giving anything away this show?
I figure we could probably give away a couple free tickets.
If we find some people who are genuinely interested in going to this event and are actually in the Phoenix area or would be silly enough to fly across the country.
Yeah, we actually have a couple guys from Europe flying in.
Fantastic. All right. So we might do that. You just have to convince us that you're worth it. Now, I also want to talk about Sony. This week, Sony put out... I don't know if they put it out, but there was this big Sony event where they talked about the PS3, and it's been really the main thing in the news this past week, so I figure we should talk about it. I have some feelings regarding their announcement that they're going to delay the system, which in truth, I claim is not really a delay, at least not for us here stateside. So we're going to talk about that later in the show as well. Like I said, I want you to call in, talk about the LAN thing, defend PC gaming, do whatever you need to do. We're at 866-536-1100. And I'm going to start off the show now. Now, we almost always start off the show by talking about the games we've been playing lately. Now, last week, I talked about Black. Played that for the Xbox. I assume it's pretty much the same for PS2. And I had said I need to give it some more time. Have you guys had the chance to play Black?
No, I haven't played Black. I've been playing a lot of Burnout Revenge on the 360. Just a rehash of the original Xbox and the, you know...
Have you not taken advantage of all the new stuff that the 360 has? There's not all that much new stuff, but there's some.
Yeah, there's just a couple tracks, and that's about it. You know, like, prettier graphics.
But it's Xbox Live like crazy.
That definitely makes it a lot easier to get.
Send your movies to your friends. And
yeah, you know, the movies weren't so great. I went into EA's. They don't really play them off of Live. EA has their own little section that you go into.
Yeah.
And the movies, it seems like I went in and checked out all the, you know, the top movies and everybody. And, they weren't really that great for me. I was wondering why they were in the top 10 of the greatest Crash movies, whatever, you know?
So is that because you got to pull off better Crashes of your own, or they just weren't very spectacular?
I've seen better ones in Takedown, but...
Okay. Number two?
Yeah, I think that was
the
two.
The second one?
Yeah.
All right. See, now, getting back to Black, I said I need to give it more time because I didn't get to play it enough. And so... Anyway, I gave it more time, and unfortunately, it doesn't score any better in my book. My roommate referred to it as uninspired, and I agree completely. I don't know what they did to make me so impressed when I was at E3 and showed it, you know, showed the group of press people behind the doors, whatever. Look at how fantastic this is going to be, because it looked really good. I was very excited about this game, and then I played it, not that fantastic. So I'm a little bit bothered by that. I don't know what Criterion is moving on to next, but I look forward to it. If it's another version of Black, I'm sure they'll do a job that impresses me more. But as it stands, you walk around, some guys show up, you shoot them. You walk around some more, guys show up and you shoot them, which I guess could be said of a lot of first-person shooters. But this is especially tame, this
I've
one.
I've got a question for you. They're touting the whole, you know, destructible environments and all that stuff. Yeah. Have you ever played a game called Red Faction?
I have played Red Faction.
Okay, that was a destructible environment. How does that compare to Black?
Well, there wasn't a lot of destructible environment in Red Faction.
You could blow holes through pretty much anything within the realm of the game.
There was some destruction. And what's cool about Red Faction is that it actually made a gameplay difference. And it does sort of in Black, too. But Black is mostly like, if you're behind a headstone in a graveyard area, then people can blow it up and then have more access to you. So you can't, you know, hide behind stuff as much. But in Red Faction, it's like you could blow down a wall and get to somewhere where you weren't able to get to before. I didn't play enough of it to know if that's key. Like, well, eventually you're going to blow down this wall because you don't have another way to get somewhere where you need to go. I assume that's probably what it was like. So probably not as open-ended as we'd like to make it sound. But Black is pretty much like, yeah, there's some things you can blow up. You can blow up cars. You can blow up some posts, like Matrix style. But I don't know. It's certainly not changing the gameplay. And then you get so used to blowing stuff up. Like in the very first room you start off in, there's no key, there's no way to open a door, no action button that opens it. So I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes, how do I open this door? Well, I guess I'll try to blow it down. Not standard in gaming these days, but the first level you have to blow down doors, but that's cool. And I blow down the door, great. Later on, I get to a place where there's a door, and there's wood panels covering the doorway. Like, all right, I want to get into this so I can get up to the top of this sniper place. I shoot down the boards, they come off, fantastic. I shoot the door.
Nothing.
Doesn't come down. Like, I throw grenades at it. There's no other option. So, one
Try
thing I learned.
The door.
I studied game design there at the University of Advancing Technology. We've talked about that a few times on the air before. And one of the things you learn in your standard game design class is basic rules of gameplay. And, like, when you, I don't know if you want to call it a rule, but you basically create expectations on the part of the gamer. And the rules of the universe are put down. So, like, either you can blow doors down or you can't blow doors down. Either you can do a triple jump with Mario or you can't.
Keep it the same all the way through.
The rules are defined. But if you change those midway through, really you're going to have a problem on your hands. So when I was taking wooden slabs off a door and not able to go through the door, I was a little bit pissed off. And especially when it was a sniper tower. I was in a part of the game where you're supposed to be sniping. Specifically puts you in that position. And then, anyway, I was bummed out. I had a lot more fun this week playing Worms, believe it or not, on the original PS1. We're talking the original Worms. The bad PC port.
Soon, hopefully, to be played on the PlayStation 3.
One of these days, maybe. But the 3D versions are nowhere near as good. The original Worms, badly ported to the PS1. We've got digital pad mouse emulation. Doesn't even use the analog sticks. Bugs everywhere. But it was a great game, and I still have fun with it. So, some friends and I beating up each other's Worms. Great fun. You go to Black, not that much fun. So anyway, were you pointing to him because he plays Worms a lot?
Yeah, he loves Rob here.
I used Worms. To. Yeah, I haven't played it in quite a while.
Which version was the one that you would play a lot?
The original.
The original one. Yeah, see, yeah. Like I tried Armageddon, at least on the PS1. Don't try this stuff on the PC. It would be smart since it was made for the PC. But I didn't. But all the other ones I tried, I didn't like as much. The original Worms, maybe it's because, like, I liked the old system and didn't want to switch to the new. Anyway, that's what I've been playing lately. And I'm curious if you guys have been playing anything new that I don't know about PC gaming.
PC-wise, I've been playing a lot of Fear.
Yeah, Fear's been...
Fear's been a really fun multiplayer game.
I heard a lot about that a couple months ago, but then it dropped off the radar. People don't talk about it anymore.
It definitely has a kind of a... It has a core, you know, that a lot of people play. It's not like a Counter-Strike, you know, everyone's playing it. But it definitely, like, LAN party. We pulled it at a LAN party. You know, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to play Fear. And then all of a sudden we started playing, and everyone's, oh, that looks really cool. I want to try it out. So it definitely seems to be catching on a little bit more. It's kind of a lull there in between when it came
right
out
on.
From now.
This is, of course, a game that I haven't played much.
The single player is a lot of fun. It's different than a typical first-person shooter.
Did you hear about the big stink about it being cannibalistic and getting in the news?
Yeah.
But the guy was controlled by...
Wasn't he a demon or something?
Yeah, he was being controlled by... an otherworldly power, whatever, you know.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know. I've told people, I think we've discussed this on the air before, I'm all over cannibalism. Give me a chunk of deep fried mom, and I'll be happy for a week.
Yeah, I've been playing some DOA 4.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that at CES, and I called Nate.
It's fun.
It's like, hey, look at Fight Night. It's right next to the Dead or Alive, Night. And it looks way better.
Fight Night is amazing. That's it's fun too. You know, you can just get into once you get the controls down, they're very simple, and once you get into it, it's just fun beating up your friend.
I have to do that part because I played the demo like one time, and everybody says once you get the controls down.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because I was playing at the point where I didn't get the controls down. So I got to try. I have a friend who has that game, and I still haven't put the time into it to do exactly what you said there. Get the controls down and play.
It gets you to the point where, you know, you box how you think they should be boxing, where if they actually did, every boxer would be dead today. But
I don't know. I tried, and I got to try more. Anyway, that's not where my time has been lately. It's been in Black and Worms, and there are a few other games I want to play. I played some Ghost Recon the other day. We're going to talk about this a little bit, too, in the news. Ubisoft has done really well because this new Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter or whatever it's called. Not a bad game. Different style of game than I'm used to because I'm used to like the Halo where you run around and you just kill stuff.
It's more of a thief style, kind of sneaky.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more realistic in this game. But I'm still bugged that Ubisoft continues to put out games with bugs that I can find in half an hour. And they've had a team of people working for months. Anyway, we'll be back after this. Call us at 866-536-1100. I've already left somebody on hold here for like 10 minutes. We'll bring him on next segment, and we'll talk to these folks about Land Camp. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. That was a quick drop, Andrew. Thank you. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I have Locke and Robert, and of course Heather, in the studio this evening with me, taking the place of Nate. Now, Nate is such a huge character, we needed two people. Otherwise, it would have felt empty here in the studio. So thank you guys for coming. I got to remind everyone before we start that UAT, that's UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, is where I went. It's where Nate goes. It's where you want to go if you want to get into the industry, learning programming or art or all of that stuff. It's here in the Phoenix area. So go take a look at UAT.edu. We love them. Now, moving on. We're going to talk about Land Camp. Now, tell me, first of all, Land Camp, is this an organization, a company, an LLC?
Yeah, no, it's a group of gamers that, you know, we started out, you know, it was house lands, you know, 5-6 people, and then I went to work, you know, started the same workplace that Rob was at, and he had people that came over to his house, and so we kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
so at one point you decided, let's have a room full of 250 people like us?
It gradually got to that point. Yeah. You know, we couldn't throw lands at our house anymore, so we figured, you know, why not try something a little bigger.
So it's like people who throw raves in warehouses, but you guys throw lands.
I guess.
Exactly.
If you can call it a rave, a bunch of geeks sitting around and their headphones on. Not
there's neon lights, and there's electronics, and there's headphones.
No pacifiers or anything.
Sounds like a rave to me. So do you guys leave with more money in your pocket than you started off with?
Not a chance.
No. Okay, cool.
Been, yeah, in the hole every year. It's just kind of a labor of love kind of thing.
Right on. So this isn't a real monetary venture. No one's going to be upset at me for promoting you fat cats in your business suits.
Yeah, we definitely didn't go into this expecting to make any money at all.
All right. Well, that's good. Then I feel a little bit better about taking an entire segment to talk to you about this. So tell me a little bit about it, your end. I think you've got a spiel, right? Who's the spieler? Is that Rob or Locke?
Rob. More than welcome to spiel if he wants to.
Spiel on.
You know, just our sponsors and
hey, this week we've got, I don't know, Desert Combat and Counter-Strike and this game and that game and that game. What is it that's going to be happening here that people want to know about? What do we need to tell them to want them to come?
Well, basically it's going to be a lot of gaming, computer and console. We're going to have tournaments, a lot of the newer games, Battlefield 2, Quake 4. I don't know the console. I don't play consoles
myself.
Yeah,
we're going to have some Halo 2 free-for-all, Halo 2 4-on-4 Team Slayer. We'll do some Mario Kart Double Dash tournament, stuff like that.
So you say we've got lots of different PC tournaments. It's predominantly PC. You say there's going to be console, right?
Yeah, I would say 90% PC. We're really trying to we're going to have a lot of consoles there. We should have about a dozen consoles going.
Can I convince you to do a Guitar Hero tournament?
You know, if you can get people to do it.
Oh, I can.
Unfortunately, it sounds like you're going to be the winner on that one.
Listen, I can compete. I can hold my own. But you never know what people bring
that's
out.
True, you know?
You don't expect people to be rockers when they're, you know, sitting at their computer typing. So that's cool. I would be excited. Maybe I'll bring that along and just see if we wrangle up some folks. But now in the end, we can have people actually walking away with some hardware, right? We've got prizes.
Yep, definitely.
Well, you have prizes to give away for these tournaments, right? And how long does a tournament last?
It depends. You know, the longer ones are usually the team tournaments because you got so many people. And then, you know, you'd usually do three rounds per tournament. Say Battlefield 2, it could take, you know, 2-3 hours to get through all the teams that want to play. And then we usually do a single elimination. On some, like, you know, we're doing a Half-Life 2, kind of like an Iron Man tournament, you know, first to 500 kills, something like that. We haven't quite decided. But those, you know, usually takes like half an hour or something like that. So those go pretty quick.
Right. And so we've got games and mice and sound card and video cards.
Yeah, you know, Creative came through. The Creative did a great job. They gave us some Exify, the new really nice sound cards they're putting out.
Is it the Extigy cards?
No, right? the actually a step above those.
Oh. Know,
They're actually pretty amazing, some of the stuff they got on them. The new, you know, they've got the high-definition audio. They've got the
pseudo-surround sound through any set.
Yeah, they've got onboard memory for just sound processing and stuff like that. You know, they're pretty crazy.
I have a big smirk on my face because I got to try these out when I was down at CES. It does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge audiophile. I don't know if I could tell the difference from a Sound Blaster and an XFI, but, you know, it sounded better.
Hey, you know, that's what gamers are all about, you know. You gotta, I don't care if it looks any better, but if it, you know, I think it works better, it might be a little edge or something, you know.
Right on. All right, so anything else we need to know about to drive people here? It's going to cost money.
It's going to, yeah, prepay right now up through the day before the event's $20. We've got a sign-up page, desertbash.com, or you can go to landcamp.com, and there's all the info there. And then day of, if you can't get to it, is $30 at the door. Generally, you know, we try to keep it as cheap as possible. You know, Intel is one of our big sponsors this year. They're throwing us some nice processors and, you know, swag and stuff like that. Another big sponsor is A-Bit.
They're motherboard people.
Motherboards, yeah, they make great motherboards. Play Magazine, I don't know if you've seen their magazine.
I have a friend who's a big fan of Play Magazine.
It's a really pretty magazine. It's amazing the artwork they do and stuff like that. And they've got pretty good reviews.
There are people from GameFan working on Play now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice because the magazine, I mean, there's a lot of gaming in it and not a lot of extra
crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also very opinionated, that magazine.
Yeah, they'll let you know anime. They do a lot of other cool stuff in their magazine.
All right.
Another big sponsor is Matrix Orbital. I don't know if you've seen their LCD displays. A lot of PC people, you know, love them because you can display all the info, like your processor.
Oh, is this the people who put LCDs on their cases?
Matrix Orbitals makes probably the best ones. They specifically focus towards, you know, the hardcore computer modding, all that stuff. And so they make some really nice products.
Gotcha.
And this year we got our first non-computer related sponsor, Hooters.
Okay, I'm very excited about that too. Obviously, that's another reason to drive me there. After driving for 12 hours back from San Jose, I'll be in town and get to go over to the Land Camp event. And of course, Hooters being there.
Unfortunately, because of the you know, baseball tournaments currently, they probably can't send any people over.
So. Oh, I'm sure that's the only reason. Being in a room full of 240 sweaty men.
I think gaming would come to a screeching halt more than likely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I certainly would not be paying attention to my video game. So we have a couple callers here. One of them, Eric, line 3, Andrew. Eric, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
I'm wonderful. You have a question for Locke and Rob?
Yeah, I wanted to find out. I know in the past I went to one of your Desert Bash events, and you guys had some, not necessarily tournaments going on, with the old Desert Combat mod from Battlefield. I wanted to find out if you guys are going to have a server rolling for those Desert Combat groupies.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely have some Desert Combat up. You know, Battlefield 2 is great, but there's still the you know, Desert Combat contingent out there, so we'll definitely have a couple servers running Desert Combat on it for all you guys.
And we always take requests, even at the day of the bash, if you have a game that you want us to throw up a server, we always have extra servers sitting around waiting to load
like
something
Guitar
up.
Like Guitar Hero.
There you go. See? We try to keep it pretty open format. You know, we have what we want to do, you know, but if someone says, you know, hey, I want a Call of Duty 2 server or something like that, we're more than happy to throw it on our servers.
Does that answer your question, Eric?
Yes, sir, it does.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, and thank you for listening. All right, so we only have about a minute left here. Didn't talk at all about the editorial stuff I wanted to actually cover for this section. Just talked about LandCamp. I figured it get that out of the way. Then we don't have to do our marketing bit later on.
That's all you want to talk about is LandCamp, isn't
it? No, not at all. I want to talk about PC gaming and how it seems like everything is first-person shooters these days. I don't understand it. I wish, like, consoles, there's so much console going on. I mean, you're aware about the 360, obviously. You said you've been playing
definitely.
It. You know the wired controller works on a PC, I presume.
Yes.
All right, they even released it all quietly as a PC controller without saying Xbox 360 on the packaging.
Surprisingly enough, if you buy the PC controller version, it's like $5 or $10 more than the console version.
Really? And it does the same thing?
It does the exact same packaging. It just
I didn't realize there was a price difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would buy all my stuff video game related anyway. It's always cheaper because then the kids have no money.
Yeah.
All right. We might talk a little bit more about this and some Sony when we come back. Please, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with Locke and Rob and Heather, who hasn't said a word yet, on the air as soon as we come back. Thank you. Once again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio on the air, your only source, not true, almost your only source for traditionally broadcast opinions, industry editorials on video gaming. My name's Alon. We've got Robin Locke in studio from LandCamp. And someone just called in here, Jeff, who lives normally in the UK, but I guess is hiding out here stateside for a couple of days. Jeff, I want to bring you on the air. So Andrew's going to push that button. I can see you're on the air there, Jeff. Jeff.
Hey, guys, it's not Jeff, it's Karma.
It's Karma.
Karma.
It's Karma. Yeah.
Andrew's waving his arms up in the air. He says, Jeff. But we'll go with Karma. That's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll respect your anonymity. So I wanted to bring you on the air because I assume you're going to have a special story for me. You're coming all the way from England just to go to LandCamp here in Phoenix?
Hell yeah. You know, it's my second LandCamp. CKUA have always been big fans of what Locke and Wasabi have been doing with LandCamp, and next year I'll be flying in again. We've got people from all over the States coming in this year, and every year we progressively try and get more and more people to come because it is just a hell of an event.
I have to say CKUA is the epitome of hardcore gaming, you know. These guys come every year and just...
So let me ask you this. I'm especially fascinated. Now, I have traveled across this country, like to go to E3. So like, this is a big event. Everybody knows about it, right? And you're coming to this 250-person, very modest, I'm sure fantastic, but modest event, and you're coming all the way across the pond to come over here. So do you go to a lot of LAN events, or is this a special case?
No, this is a special case. Like, once I got involved with CKUA, and they told me what a crack that LandCamp was, you know, it's modest at the moment, but it's got a great future in store.
You guys say you don't walk away with extra money. You could do it. This guy's paying like a grand just to come here.
I know. We give him free pass every year, too.
This is the thing about LandCamp. They go above and beyond. And it is a really healthy, friendly environment that we end up in. We always try and make a show for the guys, you know. We all turn up in dorky t-shirts, and it's a bit like the crippled right stuff when we walk in. We come in ready to kick ass, and we get our asses kicked by 10-year-olds. But at the end of the night, we have a great time. And that's because of the LandCamp guys putting on a damn fine show.
Well, I am very impressed.
I am too. Thank you.
That you guys
much.
Have someone so staunchly in your side of the ring.
We try.
Advertising for you. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for calling and giving your opinion to LandCamp. I didn't realize that it had such a healthy and friendly environment.
It's one of the best, man. One of the best. But pleasure talking to you. And Jester, I'll see you soon, man.
Thanks, Carmi. Have a good one, man.
Excellent.
I'll see you later, Mike.
Fantastic. And now I hope that we have lifelong fans of Chatterbox because of you. This is fantastic. We've got somebody else who's been waiting on a very long time, I guess, to help promote. I don't know if you guys need any more promotion. This is Ken. Am I right? Ken on line one, Andrew? You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ken in Texas.
Hey there.
Hey, long-time Land Camp member. Ended up moving to Texas, but I'm coming back this year and every year in the future for Desert Bash. It's the best land party in town.
Were you there last year?
This will be my fourth one in a row.
He's been there since 1.0.
Wow, yeah. So tell me a little bit about last year. What happened? Was it as good as the rest? Was there some shenanigans at last year's event?
Every year it gets better. Can't really tell you, you know, it's what you don't expect. There's always something new. There's always a new game to play, new people to meet, and it's a good time by all. I mean, by far one of the best land parties I've ever been to.
Why didn't you have these people calling in 2 years ago when you were on the show?
Hey,
I wouldn't have been able to resist. Now I'm going
to
be there.
That's one of the things. We try to push everything, all of our land events, whether it's a big one or a little one. Fun is the most important thing.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Thank you again, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks
for calling in. Now I'm going to move on to some topic for our show. Let's get away from I'm not going to be able to do it.
Sorry.
This is fascinating to me that you have fans from
Shameless
across the world.
Self-promotion.
Like, I do a show, people can hear it. I can understand maybe we have someone in Scotland or England listen. One or two, maybe. But you guys have people actually traveling. It's fantastic. I got to figure out what you're doing right. All right, so what I wanted to talk about, which is not about LANing, said all sorts of things. I wanted to complain about PCs, but something else I think we're going to talk about later on the show. I want to start off now. Total lack of a segue for me, unfortunately. Mentioned earlier, Sony and they're mentioning their PS3, and that they're finally going to bring it out. They're finally claiming it'll be out this year. When before it was all ambiguous, it'll be spring, we don't know, and now they said it's going to be in November. Do you guys keep up with the news on the consoles, or do you just play them because people bring?
No, I try to keep up on it.
All right. So what's happened is this week, some Sony event, they claimed, okay, PS3 is going to come out in November, big delay. And then, the stock went down and the sky started falling and some people got, you know, laxatives thrown into their food. They were very upset. Apparently the Sony PS3 is not coming out until November. Now, what I don't understand is why people are so amazed by this, because first of all, it was never going to come out here in the spring anyway. No Sony system has come out. There's only been two. Well, three, I guess. None of them have come out in America at the same time they come out in Japan anyway. They've always come out in the summer in Japan and then in the U.S. in time for Christmas. And why? Because Sony tests everything in Japan before it makes it here. And we've discussed this on the show before. Of course, you guys weren't in the studio with me, but Sony uses Japan as a test bed for their products.
Rabid fans there, no matter what.
Yeah, they'll release a system with, two games. It'd be like the Nintendo 64 all over again, right? Game comes out. They released that whole PSX system, the TiVo Sony thing, right? Never even came out here. Didn't even do what it was supposed to do when it was released, right? So the PS3 wasn't going to come out here in the spring anyway. And so now we're all, what? What? It's delayed? It didn't get delayed for us. So that's number one. But they're saying they're going to have a million systems for launch. A million systems. Wow. Except they're going to do a worldwide launch.
Yeah, rings of the Microsoft
release. Yeah, a million systems just in the U.S. wasn't enough for for Xbox 360. And Microsoft doesn't have nearly the following that Sony has. So when they want to bring out a million here in the United States, I'm very curious what people think about this. And I wanted to ask people to call in about this. We've already had callers calling about Land Camp. But now, what do you think about Sony? Because they're really pissing me off. And I try not to get too mad on this show. I try to be not the host who screams and whines about everything. Because I like to be, bright and shiny and show everybody that there's a silver lining to everything. But sometimes people make some really bad decisions. Basically, I feel like we're being lied to, but not after the fact. I know you're lying to me, Sony. And I know for the next 6 months, is it six? Try eight. For the next 8 months, you're going to be flat out lying to me that, there's going to be the system. There's going to be all sorts of them. Don't worry about it. You're going to love your system when it comes out because you're going to be able to watch somebody play a demo of it and not have it in your house for about another year. Like the Xbox, how long has it been now? 5 months? How long have you had yours, Locke?
I actually got mine probably about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. All right. It's been out for 5 months.
I know.
I don't know if you were aware of that. Never actually saw one before this week, right?
I've been fighting for one.
Yeah, exactly. It's been out for 5 months, and you still can't buy one of the stores. Microsoft was gracious enough to say, well, don't worry. By the end of March, all the pre-orders will have been taken care of.
Yeah.
5 months later, the pre-orders. It's supposed to be day one event. Pre-orders, day one. 5 months now. All right, and they had a million for this country. Sony now says that they're going to start building them in, like, June or July, and they're going to have them for sale in November, but they're going to make a million a month. But then I'm hearing other people say they're going to have a million for worldwide launch. So I don't know what the situation is with the launch numbers. Let's say they had 5 million. Still not enough.
I think they're just doing Japan and the U.S. I think Europe has to hold off until the first of the year.
Yeah.
First of 07.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. I don't see how they're going to pull it off.
No chance in hell is the answer to that question.
Especially with all the problems Sony has right now with earnings.
Well, and Microsoft can't come out with a system that works, and Sony has never been able to, right? PS2 is still broken.
Yep.
And, like, we did talk about this last week. Nate's Xbox 360 just suddenly stopped working because the power supply died. I even called Microsoft on his behalf last week. I was like, so it doesn't work. Oh, yeah, you must have a defective power supply. It's like, yeah, I know, thanks. Now, let's get that taken care of. So I think they're going to send us a new one. Well, send Nate a new one. It's the Chatterbox 360. They'll send it to us. But anyway, so Sony's going to have a system they're rushing out the door. The Blu-ray drive isn't even finished yet. All the specs on it of the copy
security
protection or whatever.
And the DRM and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they're saying it's going to come with a hard drive. Originally, everyone was mad when they found out it wasn't going to. When the first time they announced it, they said it wasn't going to come with one, and everyone complained about it.
That
now it's coming with it,
and
I'm going to complain about it because it's going to come with a hard drive, and the system's already going to be too expensive. Now, I don't know. I'm very excited this can have one because I think it's a very useful function, especially with all the media stuff that say that the PS3 is going to do, like have Linux preloaded on it and stuff to manage all your media. It's going to be fantastic. Of course, it probably won't run DivX, but still, I don't know. What do you think it's going to cost? $500-$600?
Well, they Barron's, I think, did a cost breakdown, and they were talking it was going to be
$800 for the cost.
$900 just to even build it.
Yeah.
And
I don't really care about that.
I'm going to take a hard hit.
Because you can't charge more than $500 for it. But what I think is going to happen is that they're going to release with so few units, they're going to take it upon themselves to do what I said these companies should do. I think we mentioned this a month and a half ago. It's hard for me to remember exactly when. But I was saying that they should be able, basically, forget eBay. Sell it for $900 on day one because people will buy it. That's supply and demand. It's the very definition of it. Right, so they should sell it on day one for as much as they think they can get, and then a few months down the road when they actually have enough to get me one without having to wait in line for 3 days in the cold and the rain, which isn't here in Phoenix anyway, but other people have that problem, they should finally have a reasonable price on it. But in the beginning, why not let them make some of the money off of it, since you know that they're losing? There's no reason why I should make money on eBay. And they shouldn't make the money. They're the ones that put the effort into it, right?
They've got enough fanboys out there. I mean, people will be buying it for $900.
Well, the truth is there's enough basketball and football and movie star players and whatever in America. That
money doesn't mean anything to them.
They'd still show up on eBay for more, even if they sold them for $900.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it would. But it certainly would drop down the, whatever happened last time. I don't even know what the word is for it. There's got to be a good word. The eBay effect. I don't know. But I bet that that's what's going to happen. There's going to be so few, they're going to have a ridiculously high price in terms of game consoles. And then they'll announce, don't worry, in May of next year, it'll actually be a reasonable price for people, when maybe they'll have a few on the shelves. Anyway, I'm still upset about it, because I think Sony's trying to pull the wool over our eyes, saying, oh, don't worry, it's going to be a normal launch. It's going to be fantastic. You're all going to be very happy. Anyway, you can call in and talk to us about it, or not. We're going to be back with the Land Camp folks after these messages, everyone. We're back for one final segment, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon. I've got Locke and Rob from Land Camp with the Desert Bash 4.0. By the way, that's happening this weekend. I'm not sure if we mentioned
March
the date.
March 25th, 10 a.m.
Yep, we said that it was going to be the weekend of GDC. For all those who aren't in the know, that means 1 week from now, actually less than that because it's Saturday morning, right? And it's here in the Phoenix area near the airport. So if you fly in from the U.K., You're right there. You can sleep on the street and come in and not have to sleep on Saturday because you're going to be at the event. And we might even pull off something there ourselves. Chatterbox, I mean.
Yeah, if you need, we got links on landcamp.com and desertbash.com if you need the Regular directions.
And if I get off my butt, I might even put up a link on our very own website at chatterboxgameshow.com.
I might even put one up for Chatterbox on Landcamp.
By the way, I'm learning how to develop a new website, developing a new one for Chatterbox Game Show. Working on a beta right now. So if you go to our site, you can figure out how to find it. Find it. To go on the forums for Chatterbox and then tell me how crappy it is so I can make it better. Anyway, before we move in, we've got Nathan ready for a smart attack coming in a minute. Want to remind everybody again, though. I did earlier. We talked about UAT. UAT.edu if you want to learn more about getting into the industry. Now, we've got Nathan Smart. Haven't had him on the show for a couple weeks. Missed him last week. But he's going to be on the show now and tell me what's been going on in Smartland. Nate, you there?
Yeah.
So what's been going on, dude?
I've been sick a lot.
You've been sick? What's the matter?
I've got the flu or something.
So how do you feel?
I feel better, but it's just, you know, it's just so hard to have the flu and write award-winning comedy pieces for your show. That's why I haven't been around.
Award-winning?
Yeah. You didn't know? I won an award for one of my pieces on your show.
From where?
From the award guys. They gave me an award.
Award guys? Which award guys are we talking about?
What do you mean?
I mean, which award guys gave you an award?
The award guys.
There are lots of people giving out awards, Nathan. You can win an award for website stuff, for writing, for broadcasting, for video game related things. What kind of award did you win?
An award award.
An award award.
Yeah, an award for winning awards.
I'm not aware of such a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is.
No, I really don't think there is, Nathan.
You've never heard of the awardees?
The awardees?
That's what they call them, for short. They give them out every year to people who have won awards. Basically, if you've won an award, then you'll get an awardee.
Okay. So, what award did you get to win an awardee?
An awardee.
Yeah. What did you get to receive that?
No, I won an awardee for receiving an awardee from the year before.
Wait a minute. So, you can get an awardee for winning an awardee?
Yeah. I've won an awardee every year for the last 27 years.
And what was the original award that you won to get your first awardee?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, Best Dad Award.
Wait a second. You're 28 years old, buddy. How could you win an award for Best Dad when you were born? Not to mention the fact that you don't have any kids.
Don't judge me a lot.
I'm not judging you. You've just made me a little curious about how you get a Best Dad Award when you're not a dad, and when you're one.
It was my dad's award.
So you didn't even get the award?
No.
So you've been stealing your dad's awardees for the past 28 years?
No. Yes.
Nathan, that's pretty awful. You got 27 awardees, and none of them are even yours?
Who cares? My dad doesn't even know about them.
Does your dad listen to this show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Yep.
I gotta go.
Nathan Smart, ladies and gentlemen. More great news reporting from Nathan Smart. Thank you very much. And, wow, how do I shift from that into the real news? I don't know how to do it. You guys know Nathan Smart?
I've heard him a few times,
Where the Smart Attack?
Yeah.
That was especially special. Head over to awardee.com to see all the awards that Nathan won at the awardee show. So let's cover a little bit of news. I was just complaining about Sony. It's not often on this show that I go off on a big radio show host style rant. I'm not that kind of guy. But I felt it was justified in this case. That Sony's full of the BS. Trying to like tell me to my face everything's okay and it's not going to be. I'm a little bothered by that. So let's move into some news that'll piss off Microsoft. I don't know if you might have... This is big news this week. I don't know if you read it.
Viva
but apparently,
Pinata?
No. Well, there's that too. We should really get the music for that and play that as background music here. No, Xbox 360. This actually happened just a couple weeks ago or a month ago for the original Xbox. Someone cracked the firmware or made their own firmware. That is not the Viva Pinata music, Andrew. Close, though. Good job. So somebody cracked the firmware for the Xbox DVD so that it would play copied DVDs without having to use a mod chip or anything. And now, same people involved just did the same thing for the Xbox 360. So I suspect very soon someone who cares much less about the piracy concerns than the people who actually did this originally will probably come up with a hack that they release on the internet to let you know how to cracksaw your boxor so that it'll play hacked copies. It involves, you know, some hardcore chip programming and soldering and whatever of chips into your DVD drive and whatnot. Yep. It's not easy to do.
Can you even play live?
Yeah, because you just play. It'll think like it's a normal disc, right? But that's pretty amazing news that people were able to do that. And there's all these quotes that they're moving back, looking back on about how the Microsoft techs were like, there's such incredible, you know, protection on this machine. I don't even know how they'll ever come up, if they'll ever figure it out.
Would it take them like a week to get into the file system and get read-write access to it?
That's not tough. What are you talking about? Bits and bytes flowing so freely these days. But yeah, so the Xbox 360, apparently some guys are playing some ripped DVDs. But luckily, it's something that's so hard to do that it won't actually happen widespread. People are still working on real mod chips on that. And from what I've heard, it's pretty tough to crack. So I'm not expecting one very soon. But I'm sure the people are upset that their games are able to be pirated at this point. Now, I talked about this earlier with Ghost Recon and the bugs that I'm bugged about. Because I've talked about Splinter Cell 3 before, and how great that game was, but how I had to stop playing because I could never finish the level because it would fail. Disconnect the server that between me and my companion playing on another Xbox. It was really annoying. So I was able to find bugs that make it unplayable at some point when you're playing with multiple people on one machine. It was annoying. Like, if player one dies and player one has normal control and is not inverted, player two has inverted control, right? Player one dies and he looks, he watches player one, so he sees through his eyes while he's sitting there not playing because he's dead. It'll uninvert player two's controls. I don't know if you were aware of this. That's on the Ghost Recon game.
Never gotten there.
Fantastic bug. Found it in like 15 minutes.
Nice.
They have months with people playing that and they couldn't figure it out. I don't know. Anyway, Nate and I discovered that very quickly. More news from Ubisoft. Apparently, I forget the name of the company, Arcade VR or something. They're coming out with Far Cry Instincts, the arcade game.
Hmm.
One of the, that's the company that, Global VR, that's what it's called. You put the thing over your head, right, and you've got the gunner ship.
Yep.
Right? I don't know if it's going to be something like that, but since it's the Global VR, it probably will be some sort of high-res monitor thing that you staple onto your face for Far Cry Instincts. Anyway, Mitchell's been on the phone for a long time. We're not going to be able to bring him on because we ran out of time today, so I apologize, Mitchell. But anyway, we're done with the show. I want to review Land Camp happening this weekend. You can get there as early as, what, noon?
10 a.m. Doors open. We got
right
all kinds of tournaments, all kinds of prizes. You know, Battlefield 2 by Creative. We got Quake 4 by Creative. There are some great sponsors.
Fantastic. So great. Go to LandCamp or DesertBash.com. That's two different sites, LandCamp.com.
They both link to each other, though. So
exactly. Same thing. Go there, learn more about it. I'm going to try to be there with Nate on Saturday night, Sunday morning. Can't really tell the difference. Our eyes are going to be glossed over anyway from all the driving. But we will enjoy it, provided we make it. I know you guys will have a great time, and so will the people from UK. Come kill us all. So thank you very much, everybody, for calling in, being part of the show. We will be back next week with a report on GDC and all the fascinating things we see at that show. Until then, goodbye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.